Good evening, Commissioners. I'm David Morton, Redmond 98053. I'd like to speak about the Transportation Master Plan update. I've reviewed the materials for this item on the agenda, and I want to commend staff for the comprehensive work on this plan. However, I have concerns about the Transportation Facilities Plan that deserve your attention. First, regarding project removals, I understand the rationale for removing projects not aligned with Redmond 2050, but I'm concerned about removing the Avondale Road school bus pullouts without a clear alternative. The justification states this needs further evaluation as part of a broader corridor study, but students need safe bus access now. Please ensure safety concerns are addressed through other means or that the broader corridor study is prioritized in the near-term time frame. Second, I'm troubled by the revenue forecast assumptions. The TFP projects flat revenue growth through 2050 without accounting for inflation or rate increases. This seems unrealistic given rising construction costs and the ambitious scope of planned projects. The plan needs $462 million and relies on federal and state grants that provide 18% of total funding. What happens when grants don't materialize? Should contingency plans that consider more stable funding mechanisms be developed? Third, while I appreciate the emphasis on multimodal investments, which make up 79% of the TFP budget, I'm concerned about equity across neighborhoods. Only 13% of TFP investments serve neighborhoods outside urban centers, yet these areas also need safe walking, biking, and transit connections to reach downtown, Overlake, and other destinations. Residents throughout Redmond need viable transportation alternatives to driving. Finally, Transportation Demand Management, or TDM, strategies are excellent, but enforcement mechanisms remain vague. Mobility management plans historically have lacked attention beyond initial completion, according to the TDM chapter. Action 2B mentions developing renewal requirements, but how will compliance be monitored? Consider dedicated funding for TDM staff and clear enforcement procedures with consequences for noncompliance. This plan shapes decades of growth. Please address school bus safety concerns, funding contingencies, neighborhood equity, and TDM enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you.
We don't have anything. Anybody else?
All right, thanks. In that case, it's time to conclude our work on the general government portion of the capital facilities plan for 2050. Bringing up Cameron Zapata.
Thank you. Good evening, Planning Commission. I'm here tonight to bring forward the Capital Facilities Plan 2050 for recommendation of approval to City Council. This plan is an update to the capital facilities element referenced as part of Redmond 2050. And it forecasts out the capital facilities out to 2050. This plan was or has come to the Planning Commission three times, or this is its third time. And in your packet, you'll find the issues matrix and the Planning Commission report and recommendation. We received an email from Commissioner Copley that items 12 and 16 can now be closed from the issues matrix, which were the two remaining.
From Commissioner Coleman.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Commissioner Coleman, which were the two remaining open items. And the Planning Commission report and recommendation the report and the recommendation include past discussions and reflect those conversations. And at this point, can open it up for a discussion of any of those items from the issues matrix or the report. And with that, I'm hoping to move this plan forward for the recommendation.
All right, so we have concluded the issues matrix. I think the big piece of work to capture in this is we had a couple of recommendations that people wanted to see made in the packet that goes to City Council. Exact verbiage of that was provided in the packet. So I don't know if it makes sense to just bring that up quickly so that we can review that. and people can get a quick refresh. I don't know that we necessarily need to read through each of the pieces because I'm expecting people looked at their sections. But just once it's up, if anyone has any corrections that they need made.
I can pull up the report with, and scroll to the recommendations.
That would be lovely. Thank you. Great.
Large enough.
All right, so I think the question here is just if anyone has any corrections that they would like to make to the items here that they feel responsible for. I'm good on mine, they were accurately represented. Other commissioners? Commissioner Aparna looks good. Commissioner Coleman looks good. All right. So in that case, we're going to do this in two parts. So first of all, the recommendation and then the report approval. So first, I look for a motion to approve the Planning Commission recommendation on the general government portion of the Capital Facilities Plan 2050.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? All right. That is approved. And then any corrections to the report as published in the packet? No. In that case, I look for a motion to approve the report for City Council on the general government portion of the Capital Facilities Plan 2050.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. That is also approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Right, our next item on the agenda is our study session on the Transportation Master Plan, bringing up Michael Hintz and Francesca Liberty. Before we go into our presentation from staff, I just want to reframe our work tonight because this is another one where it doesn't entirely fit our normal model, and I just want to make sure everyone has the right expectations going in. So the way that we've been approaching this, usually we come in a process where we're reviewing plans, we do our study sessions, we do our public hearing, and that's, we kind of have a predictable plan that follows that. In this case, what we're doing is we're really coming in ahead. So we've been seeing the Transportation Master Plan come together over the course of a year. This is the last study session where we are providing feedback on topics that the city is considering before it goes to a draft, and then we start a normal process. So I know that there's been some confusion about the issues matrix, closing items early, et cetera, and I think the problem is we were overloading the word issues matrix in this sense. We're going to start when we get a new draft, the first draft, with an issues matrix, and then we'll do our normal process. The way to think about it, up till now, the feedback that's been coming in has been useful and going into the draft. And so if anyone has questions about answers that you received in the issues matrix, and need to flesh it out, we can review that at the end of tonight. But the main goal tonight is going to be to get a presentation from staff on new topics that will inform the draft, and then we will give feedback on those topics, and we're not going to circle back to previous topics unless, again, we have time at the end and people want to clarify. Does that sound good? Okay, great. Great. So now on to the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, and appreciate that clarification. Michael Hintz, Transportation Planning Manager. I'm pleased to be with you tonight, and I'm joined by Francesca Liberti, who's our Senior Transportation Planner. And today we're going to give you an update on our overall Transportation Master Plan adoption schedule and review what components of the TMP fall under the Planning Commission's approval recommendation based on Growth Management Act requirements. We'll also review two chapters of the TMP that contain components, again, required by the Growth Management Act, henceforth referred to as the GMA, and therefore fall under Planning Commission's purview. These two chapters are the Transportation Demand Management and Transportation Facilities Plan. These are the last two chapters the Planning Commission will review before we bring the complete TMP document forward for public and Planning Commission review. We'll also review appendix material that fulfills GMA requirements and will be moved over to the TMP from the Redmond 2050 plan. So that is our agenda. Just real quick, a review of our schedule. This is just a simplified schedule. Shows that we've conducted much of the analysis and strategy development, plan development in 2024, and we are looking to have it adopted in Q1 of 25. As you know, we've pushed out the completion time frame from Q4 2025 to Q1, just to allow some more time for detailed content review by staff and others. This is a little bit more detailed schedule here. So following tonight's study session, we expect to have three more touch points with the Planning Commission in November and December. We anticipate bringing the public review draft to Planning Commission for a public hearing on December 3rd. Prior to the public hearing, the public review draft of the TMP will be made available on November 12th, allowing for a three-week comment period. On November 19th, we will bring forth an issues matrix containing any issues raised tonight on the items that we're bringing forward, and then add to that issues matrix any other comments you have on the draft, the full draft plan. We will retain the other issues that were raised as just a historical document, and as Commissioner Weston said, we're happy to follow up on any of those. I will now hand it over to Francesca to walk us through just a review of the GMA requirements.
Great. All right, this table summarizes the GMA requirements that are pertaining to transportation. Currently, these are all addressed in the Comprehensive Plan Transportation Element and its appendices. The TMP updates will update some of these, and as well as delving deeper into strategies and actions related to many of these requirements. The Transportation Master Plan will become the document where all of these transportation-related GMA requirements are addressed, while Redmond 2050 sets the transportation vision and kind of higher-level policies. So with the TMP update on the 25-26 annual comp plan docket, the appendix material in the transportation element will be moved to the transportation master plan to allow for ease of future updates and consistency. This slide, you have probably seen this before. This summarizes the chapter outline of the TMP. The chapters in yellow highlight areas that include those GMA-required components, and those are the ones that we're focused on for the Planning Commission's recommendation. It should be noted that the street system, pedestrian, bicycle, and transit plans were previously reviewed by Planning Commission in our touch points in October 2024 and June 2025, as were the appendix materials as part of the Redmond 2050 process. This presentation and future updates to Planning Commission will be focused on the TMP chapters or elements required by the GMA. All right, now I will move into our transportation demand management strategies. Transportation demand management, or TDM, informally, is a general term for strategies that result in a more efficient and sustainable use of transportation resources. Many programs and projects within TDM aim to provide more transportation options than driving alone in order to reduce trips and traffic congestion and meet other city goals, such as reducing emissions and providing more affordable transportation options. The TDM chapter in our Transportation Master Plan focuses on reducing all vehicle traffic within Redmond, not just drive alone or commute trips. And we are planning to do this through encouraging transit and the use of active transportation modes. Our TDM strategies, kind of outlined here, include Go Redmond, which is the city's TDM program that supports the state commute trip reduction, or CTR, requirements. The Go Redmond program also manages the School Pool program, which supports reduction of traffic in school zones and educates the community of their travel options. Go Redmond spreads awareness of transit and other non-driving resources, including recent transit network changes and flexible transit options in Redmond. The city's TDM efforts rely on partnerships with organizations and agencies, and we're looking to maintain and strengthen these partnerships and amplify these for these tools and resources for the community. Parking management is also an important component of shifting people's travel behaviors while also ensuring that there is available parking to support Redmond businesses. Mobility management plans, or MMPs, which were formerly called transportation management plans, are required when development generates a certain level of travel demand or mobility units. We want to be able to be sure that what we're requiring in these MMPs is aligned with outcomes for TOD areas and affordable housing and allow for a more flexible approach. We also discuss first-last-mile connections. Examples of some of these solutions can be our microtransit shuttle that we're developing from our WashDOT Regional Mobility Grant that we received. Also, building out our bikeway network will help us achieve these first-last-mile connections and filling sidewalk gaps as well. So we understand that Redmond neighborhoods are going to see growth and an increase in travel demand, and maintaining acceptable travel times and expanding travel options is an important factor to the Redmond community. TDM plays a key role in neighborhood planning efforts to ensure that transportation corridors and neighborhood networks are safe and accessible for a variety of travel modes. I'll pass it back to Michael to talk through our appendix material and the transportation facilities plan.
Thank you. And before I jump forward with the transportation facilities plan, would you like to pause and ask any questions related?
Sure. I think doing this by section is great.
Okay.
Commissioners, any questions about TDM? Commissioner Coleman.
I was just curious about the micro shuttle program you were talking about. Can you tell us a little more of that, about that?
Sure. So that the micro transit shuttle? Yeah. So that is a program that we are getting started here in early 2026. We received a grant from the WashDOT Regional Mobility Grant Program. And as part of that grant, we're going to use those funds to do a pilot program of what we're calling a micro transit shuttle. It'll be both an on-demand flexible transit option for folks within the kind of downtown Redmond and Education Hill areas. The goal is focused on getting people from Redmond's in and around the downtown area, but also to our light rail stations, especially from hearing from folks in Education Hill that feel they have difficulty accessing those. So that's really the goal of this. We're working with Circuit Transit was our selected vendor. They're the same vendor, if you're familiar with the Bellhop shuttle in Bellevue, the same vendor that's working with them. So we're really excited about that partnership. And this will be a program that will be a two-year pilot. And then we're hoping we will be able to continue that in some additional capacity once the grant funding is up.
I live on Education Hill, as does Commissioner Woodyer. So I'm very excited to see what that looks like. Yeah. I was curious, is there any more detail on that you'd be able to share? Not necessarily right now, but when's that available in terms of details?
Yeah, so we are just getting started. We actually have a kickoff meeting next week with Circuit Transit. So we're just getting them under contract and getting work going, planning the shuttle. We're expecting to have kind of a soft launch in early 2026. And then really we're looking to have this be a tool that aligns well with the Crosslake connection, the Sound Transit's two-line extension over I-90. And so once we're hoping to kind of have a full, really well-promoted launch when that aligns with Sound Transit's opening as well. So yeah, more to come in early next year. Yeah.
Commissioner Aparna.
So I was looking at the TDM, and in strategy 5 related to school safety, I see walking, biking, school bus safety, but we don't talk about e-mobility. Is there a reason why we don't, or is there something that we can do to, if it's not going to be here, then where is it? I know that there's a separate section on e-mobility, but the e-scooters and all of that is a problem. It's a safety issue because they're much faster. So is there a possibility of thinking about how we can add a strategy or add verbiage to include these modes of transport?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think we can take another look at that. We're definitely aware of the issues around some of the high-powered e-bikes and e-dirt bikes that middle school students in particular are using. And we can look at maybe touching on that. We are working actively with police and communications right now on just getting information out about that and the legality, or rather illegality, of those vehicles. So it's kind of a right now a operations, education, possibly enforcement action. I think as far as TDM goes and school pool and school related transportation, you know, we don't want to discourage kids from riding their bikes to school. In fact, we want to encourage that. We just want them to do it on safe vehicles. So we can look to see what might make sense to touch on in the TMP as far as those vehicles go.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'd actually like to piggyback on that. So I had a question about Go Redmond generally, and then specifically the school pool question. Now, just so everyone has a sense of the scale we're talking. So Lake Washington School District has almost 31,000 kids this year. That's split between, obviously, Kirkland, Redmond, Sammamish, but significant chunk of those kids are either in Redmond or going to school in Redmond. So it's a lot of traffic. When I go and look at the Go Redmond site, especially anything related to schools, it looks very sleepy. Like, there isn't much there. I've never actually seen a school pool. My kids are in high school and middle school. That's never happened in our experience. So it's possible it's being used in other parts of the city, but I haven't seen it. And so what I'm wondering is if it would be possible to either expand that. I mean, it's an existing program, so like, right. I don't know if we can expand it, but specifically around the e-bike safety. And so the thing that... this is, my daughter is at Rose Hill Middle School. The principal there is amazing and doing heroic work trying to keep everyone safe. But a recent email that he sent last week, for example, he was working with their campus safety officer for Redmond Police, trying to figure out things like, can they offer certification and safety classes? Can they ask kids to register any bike that they're bringing to school? Can they enforce any sort of helmet or shoe rules, because kids are like not wearing shoes driving these things? Can they limit how many children are actually on a vehicle at one time? Obviously, anything that's class 3 should not be on school grounds and should not be driven by an 11-year-old, but that's happening. So there is so much immediate safety need that's an existing program. If it would ever be possible to like really focus on that teen education, bike safety through that, I would strongly encourage it, because it's going to cause a problem. I don't know of any, like, I know of some like broken bones. I don't know of any serious, like, longstanding. But it just seems like it's a matter of time.
Yeah, we totally agree with you. And we actually just had a meeting with police department 2 days ago. We've actually been having an ongoing conversation, and we're looking at our neighboring jurisdictions. This is an issue everywhere on the east side. And so we're aware of it, and definitely agree that working with the schools, the principals at the schools to get the messaging out is going to be key, parents as well. So, I think that there's room, and we're also talking about adding information on Go Redmond about that and on the city's website just for reference for people. Like I said, you know, school pool, we're looking to kind of expand the activities around that to be a bit more, more expansive. The King County School Pool program is really focused on encouragement and, you know, giving out rewards and things like that. And we really want to expand it to get things like walking school buses and bike trains and things like that going. And that's obviously going to take, you know, community partnerships and things like that. So I appreciate your comment on just the school pool and kind of wanting to see more there, and we're working on that.
I'll clarify too that right now the school pool program is focused on elementary schools. So that's, I think, when you mentioned your children are in middle and high school, we would love to have more participation from the higher grade levels as well. And so right now we work with, I want to say, about 11 or 12 elementary schools in Redmond, and also focused on the schools that are within that 98052 within Redmond area code. So, and then it does also require, of course, as Michael mentioned, partnerships with folks at the school to be able to, you know, handle materials and kind of be that communication partner with the city as well. Yeah. Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you for all of that. When we were talking about this before, I think I mentioned I have a friend who lives in West Lynn in Portland, and he sent some I forwarded it through, like, details of how they think about it. It's not to say that's what we should follow, but some things you said here are pretty similar to that. I was curious about where else you would search for kind of other kind of policy approaches that have done this. You know, just to reiterate, like the last time we spoke about it, you know, I personally, I think it's a very serious situation seeing kids going around it. Like, sometimes it feels like 40 miles an hour around a bend on one wheel. And even if we have not had a death yet, we need to not have that situation. So we need to get it before that happens. So I was just curious in terms of what else, if there's any other kind of ways you've looked at other jurisdictions and how that works.
The Association of Washington Cities convened a roundtable a few weeks ago on this very topic. So, like I said, it's on the radar of many jurisdictions. Some different approaches being taken. For example, Mercer Island has passed an ordinance to define to include e-bikes in the e-motorcycle, or in the motorcycle definition, I should say. That is something that's missing at the state level right now. So that actually makes enforcement challenging because police need to know what they're enforcing. So that's actually being worked on right now by Association of Washington Cities in the next legislative session to get that definition changed. So that will help. I think that this is a pretty relatively new topic. Just because these bikes have come down in cost, they're readily available on Amazon. There's no indication by the manufacturers that these are illegal, especially for underage folks, because, I mean, they're being sold from other parts of the world. And so it's an emerging topic. I want you to know that we're definitely on top of it and working really closely with others in the region and our own police department to make sure that some horrible thing does not occur.
Yeah, thank you. Just one of the, I'm just in the UK and same issue.
Yeah.
I was just going to say one other quick plug about Go Redmond is we recently updated the website and branding, all the materials back in April of this year. So it has a whole new look and feel. So encourage you to check that out. And there's plenty of resources on there, and we're always looking to add more.
Great. Commissioner Gagne.
I was just going to piggyback on something that you were just talking about for the e-bike stuff and how their Mercer Island is making some changes. I understand that it's hard for the municipal code to change when the state isn't following. And so wondered if anybody from staff had talked to Senator Dingra. She lives on Education Hill. She's got kids who are teen tweens, and if there needs to be a partnership with somebody who can help get legislation at the state level, I would imagine she might be a good source. That's all.
Thank you.
One other question I had, just very quickly on slide five, where you were going through requirements. I did see a mention there of the air being an area that needs to be covered in plans, and I don't think the plans that were listed would cover that. So I'm just curious, especially where the police department's been using the drones more, if that's something you're planning to update, or if the plan is just to use whatever either state or federal laws
apply. What's that? The inventory of air, water, and ground transportation, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is there any specific Redmond airspace plan?
No, there is not. I suspect that has more to do with airports, but you raise a great point, and it's something that we do talk about in the emerging trends in technology chapter related to drones. We do anticipate more drone activity beyond the Redmond police, but commercial drones operating in Redmond airspace. Airspace is outside of our jurisdiction. However, one of the actions in that chapter is to really dig into this topic and understand where we do have leverage points in our existing code to ensure that the use of commercial drones is not impacting the livability of our community and safety.
Thank you. Any additional TDM questions? Commissioner Aparna.
This is about number three. When we talk about the neighborhood and the corridor focus to get everybody connected, I like the idea very much. But for me, I'm reading the last mile, first mile, last mile, and the corridor thing is slightly separate. So I'm hoping really that when the plan comes together, we are seeing almost all the roads connected up to the corridor system. And my question would be, like, would we see that entire vision laid out, or would it be laid out in silos? And the second question is whether we have the, are we working with King County Metro or to work through access to all neighborhoods? And we heard a public comment before, and I would like to reiterate that we just need to make sure that all the neighborhoods are pulled into this, not just the new urban center focus. So just want clarity on that. Thank you.
I think I would like a little clarity on the first part of your question related to neighborhoods, corridors, and the like. Are you asking kind of what that looks like?
No, I see. So, okay, maybe I'm not clear. So basically I'm kind of saying that, yes, we have the corridors. I'm guessing we've identified all the corridors for every neighborhood. And then we're talking about potential pilot projects, first mile, last mile, what are the ways to connect up? But for me, in my head, I want to know that the ideal situation that we need to work towards is that every neighborhood, even if it's a small little alley somewhere, has a way to get to a corridor not too far, just as how we design parks, right? Like we have that whole thing of 0.25 mile walking distance. So are we designing it that way as in holistic, or are we designing the corridors and then hoping to build all the other connections?
Got it.
All right. I think that wraps us up for TDM, and so okay. We'll move on.
Wonderful. Okay. So this table shows here it's an excerpt from a larger table that we showed you previously on slide five. This table only lists the transportation appendix material that include GMA required elements that are part of the Planning Commission review and recommendation. And like Francesca mentioned earlier, this was reviewed during the Redmond 2050 process. I guess one thing maybe on the next slide here, just want to reiterate the goal of moving these dependencies from the transportation element to the TMP is really just to streamline any future updates and analysis that we might make. This slide says that content will not change. I do want to clarify that this is mostly true, but there will be some minor changes which we'll be sure to bring to the Planning Commission's attention during that process. For example, in Appendix D currently, that's the travel demand forecast, there's a discussion of performance measures through the TMP process. We've updated and revised some of those measures. So what's included in that appendix is no longer accurate. So we will either replace those or remove those from the appendix since they're featured in their own chapter in the TMP. Also, the TFP appendix, Appendix F, will be eliminated because that is being pulled into a chapter in the TMP. Okay, next slide. This graphic just kind of shows the relationship between the Transportation Master Plan and the Transportation Facilities Plan, and also the Capital Investment Strategy and Capital Improvement Program. Lots of acronyms and such. So, you know, as we've, I think this commission is very familiar, starting with the Comprehensive Plan, working down to the Functional Plan of the Transportation Master Plan, and then the TFP is a key component of the Transportation Master Plan that really lays out the system improvements that are needed to support the growth in Redmond. So this is a requirement of the GMA. A lot of things in the TFP are there's kind of a mixture of things that will be capital projects and things, projects that will be built by development. So it's kind of a mixed bag there. And this, yeah, kind of shows the types of system improvements, large capital projects, programmatic improvements. These are improvements that are maybe similar in scope, smaller scale, that would be done in spot locations. And then, yeah, projects developed by new development. We have made so this is also a key component of our concurrency program, which again is another GMA requirement, and establishing a level of service. So we have a multimodal level of service here in Redmond. It is a plan-based concurrency program, meaning all the things, all the projects that we have planned are assumed to accommodate and support the growth that is in our comprehensive plan. So next slide, we have made some changes to the Transportation Facilities Plan to reflect goals and vision of Redmond 2050. We've moved some projects that have been completed, and we've added some projects as well. Starting with the completed projects that we're removing, 156th Avenue Cycle Track, a portion of 152nd Main Street, the 70th Street Cycle Track are projects that we've removed. And then these are some more projects that we've removed. And there's rationale there, just an example of projects removed because they don't align with Redmond 2050. Most of these are vehicle capacity projects, like Willows Road widening would be a very costly project. And we're very focused on developing a multimodal transportation system. So redirecting those funds towards more multimodal improvements is more in alignment with Redmond 2050. And yeah, a few other projects there. I don't know if you want me to walk through all these. You've seen these in your packet. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer any. Yeah,
I have questions. So I had two pieces that I would love to see just a little bit more information on.
Sure.
First of all, I'd love to see what projects are left. This is what's being removed, what was completed, or what's being added.
but I don't have a sense of how big this is compared to the scope of work that the city is preserving. So that would just be a helpful detail from someone who isn't well-versed. And then the other thing is just, I'm not totally sure where all these are. So like a map would be amazing,
yeah.
If there is one. I don't know if there's ever an ArcGIS.
There is a map, and I thought we included that information.
It should be in the packet, the map and the full list, and then the map should have been in the packet.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I might have missed it.
Yeah, we have.
I was going through it.
D, yeah, attachment D.
The full list of the TFP, actually the whole TFP chapter is included there, which includes a list.
Oh.
And then
that would have helped very much. Thank you. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. Yep.
Any other better questions, Commissioner Coleman? Oh, or Commissioner Van Etten.
So I was also curious when I saw the Avondale, the pullout thing. Like, I just wanted a whole conversation around what that really looks like and what the safety impacts are, because what does the data show around what those pullouts would add in terms of safety? In a perfect world, everybody stops. I mean, that's generally speaking, people are pretty good about the school bus stop sign being out and not driving. So I'm curious how many incidents there may have been.
Yeah. My understanding, the school bus pullouts is really about reducing congestion. It's not a safety issue.
So if the school bus has a pullout, you don't have to put up the sign and everybody doesn't have to stop?
I guess if they were to extend their stop sign, people would have to stop, yes. I guess the question is, it's an operational thing from the school bus driver. We want to take a look at that as a more comprehensive corridor study. There's a lot of things happening on Avondale and not happening on Avondale, and we recognize it is a really key corridor that serves a lot of folks. In Redmond, it's just been a perennial source of Q alerts that we received as a city, wanting to see improved crossings and just better conditions for people walking and biking. So we want to undertake a more comprehensive corridor study, and we are going to prioritize this in 2026.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yeah, that was actually my question as well, so thank you for bringing that up. I just wanted to add, it was part of public comment tonight as well, so it's something which would be great to get a little bit more back on at some point. So, thank you.
Another question from me. I had a question about the removal of the work on 148th between Redmond. Oh, sorry, wrong one. 148th northbound through Lane. A through lane between Bell Red and 520. So this would be down by Bellevue. Do you know, can you speak a little bit to why that one's being removed?
Yes. Between Bell Red and 520. Okay, yeah. Currently we have 6 to 7 lanes of vehicle lanes out there. This is another just situation where investing in better infrastructure for transit, biking, walking would be where we want to spend our money rather than adding more vehicle capacity in that corridor.
Would there ever be an option to remove vehicle capacity? This is a weird question, but it's like part of the reason that area is so difficult to drive in is that there's so much lane changing.
Yeah.
Would there be a future look at how to streamline that a little bit? Or is it just off the table completely?
All I can tell you is 148th is certainly a complex corridor. Half of it is owned by Bellevue and half of it is owned by Redmond. So certainly would require a lot of coordination between the two jurisdictions. A lot of development happening in that corridor. I wouldn't say it's off the table. I think it deserves a look, but I can't say that it's kind of made the cut yet.
Can you remind me the scale of time for this particular cut list?
For the TFP?
So when it's recommended for removal, like, would that be a 10-year change? Would that be a, like, this budget cycle change?
We are, I guess just to clarify, we're recommending for removing these from the transportation facilities plan,
yes,
which would be upon adoption of the TMP.
And then the next time it would be revisited is when?
The TFP?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I mean, this is a 25-year plan, but generally on a 10-year update cycle. Yep.
I can live with that because it's, again, there's so much development happening there. But I would say that just as difficult roads go, that is one of those just really, really difficult stretches. And it's... I don't think it's just drivers lose their minds there. I think the road is actually just very difficult the way it is now.
I do want to just reiterate that the TFP is really focused on capacity projects. Okay, so that multimodal capacity project.
But not safety.
Not necessarily safety. No, we have
Safer
Streets Action Plan, and we have a local road safety plan. And that's where we would really hone in on the safety issues of a particular corridor. And it could lead to a project that gets put into our TIP, our TFP, and CIP. So just because a project is not in the TFP doesn't mean that it's not something we would not look at.
Okay. I do agree with not adding more lanes here. So I could live with that. I didn't want it to be like, no, it's actually fine. This doesn't match Redmond 2050, which is how I read the comment, because I do think there's still potential
to improve safety.
And even honestly, to improve throughput of the cars that are there now, because people just get so snarled up there. And I do think it's because of the lane design.
Yep.
Commissioner Van Nieman.
So this has to do with one of the existing projects that is still on there, and we've talked about it in the past, and I can't remember where we landed on it, but I thought we were going to remove the equestrian part of the equation. Like, it was on 116th, they were talking about equestrian access. So if you just search for equestrian, because I thought we had this conversation before. And we all kind of agreed that didn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
That it must have been, we thought it was a relic of past, and that it should really be removed.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take a look at that.
Sir.
Any more questions on the?
Oh, Commissioner Coleman. Sorry, I couldn't tell if you were gesturing or.
My hand was somewhat up.
I see.
I'll be clearer. I was actually curious about the Sammamish, the removals, the Sammamish River Trail extension, 51st to Bellred. What's the replacement solution that's there? I'm just curious what's happening there.
Sure. So we believe there's a lower cost solution. Right now there's about a 10-foot shoulder out there, and possibly extending that a little bit and then putting up some barriers between the path and the vehicle lanes, would allow for a definitely more comfortable connection there. The previous project was to actually build a separated shared-use path, completely separated from the roadway, that would impede on some wetland areas and have to be an elevated kind of boardwalk type thing, very expensive, $20 million project. We can do this project for a fraction of that cost.
As the only reason I bring up, I was literally driving down there today, and there are a bunch of young kids running from the rowing, and there was a Ghana scooter coming up right behind them, and there were cars trying to work out if this guy's going to come out or not. Yeah. You know, there's this sort of shared space. So the only reason I read it, I'm like, oh, I literally just saw that today, and it was dangerous.
Yeah, and this project is actually going to be going into the CIP in this round, and so we expect to do something here in the near term.
I had a question about one of the completed projects. So the cycle track along 156. Mm-hmm. This is a question and then a comment. The question is, when you do the plan, I would love just real clarity on what the different terms are mm-hmm. for cycle spaces as they relate to pedestrians. I think a cycle path is just bikes and it's next to a sidewalk. Yeah. Based on what I'm seeing there, whereas a bike lane would be like one direction bikes and a multimodal trail would be everyone scrambling together. Mm-hmm. But my request on this would be if there is a cycle, if I'm right on that, and the cycle path is supposed to be bikes and the sidewalk is supposed to be pedestrians, the 156 area does a really good job labeling the bike trail. Like, it's really clear bikes go this way and this way. It's like the Sharrow's symbols, but just bikes on that. But it doesn't, I would like every single time there was that, there was also a walking symbol on the sidewalk that's right next to it. There's a pavement difference, but I'm over there a lot because that's actually how I get to the light rail now, is to bus over to that area from Grasslawn. Mm-hmm. And I always see pedestrians in the cycle path, and I always see bikes going around them onto the sidewalk and almost hitting someone else. And it's just like, it's a busy area. There's a lot going on, but it's not clear to me how those pedestrian situations are supposed to be resolved. And so I don't know if a very small amount of signage would fix it, but being more specific about the expectations for pedestrians there, I think would be helpful. Cause there are a lot of things, there are even like, you can see like signs are being added, like bikes yield to pedestrians is mm-hmm. like, there are multiple versions of that sign. I would say it's not totally working yet.
Yeah, that is our first two-way cycle track in the city. So
it's very cool.
It's gonna get, take some getting used to, I think, by people.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, in Seattle, they started building these 10 years ago, like Westlake is a great example. Still see people walking in the bike lane. It's a hard one to resolve, but I think those are some good ideas.
Yeah. And just if we can get the clarification in the plan of what you're expecting, just the lingo.
Mm.
I find the cycle improvements in this region are changing really fast, and I'm never sure if I'm using the right words to even ask for one. Mm-hmm.
I think if I recall, what's in our bike strategy plan right now for the TMP is we mention the different options of different bike facilities. I believe we direct back to our bicycle design guide, which is currently published and available. And that has some really detailed explanations of the different facility types. Does that sound about right, Michael?
It's true. I was going to say we're actually kind of moving away from the cycle track term. Okay. It's embedded in the TFP because these are older projects and kind of just moving to a more general term, separated bike lane. But same principles. I mean, they're separated from the pedestrian walkway. They're separated from vehicle lanes.
Yeah.
Using a variety of different elements to create that separation.
Yep. And in 156, I think the thing that gets a little bit confusing is really the only thing is a pavement difference for most of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's darker,
yeah,
like striped pavement on the bike path right next to paler sidewalk for the pedestrians, I think. But the only people who get signs are the bikes, and I think pedestrians could use some signs too in that area.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Anyone else? Commissioner Van Nijmegen.
This is just a very general question, not about this specifically. Like when we have these types of feedback, when a resident of Redmond has a feedback about a problem that they're seeing, what's the best way to convey that?
Through QAlert, which is available on the city's website. And if you just fill out a QAlert, it will go to the correct division.
Redmond.gov/311, or if you click the request for service button on redmond.gov, there's also a, I believe it's called the My Redmond or the Your Redmond app. And so you can actually get that request for service feature on your phone. And it can be really, it's really helpful. You can actually geotag where your question or your request is, and then that gets directed into the city's system and gets forwarded to the appropriate staff to respond. So yeah, we love to do a plug for our request for service feature because it really helps log those data points for us.
Thank you. That was a much better answer.
A plug for our pedestrian bicycle advisory committee. We review this monthly, so that's what, I've got the spiel ready.
All right. Anyone else? No. Well, that's it for us tonight, I think. Thank you.
Okay. There was a slide on projects that we were adding. I don't know if you're.
We
already did that one. Okay. Those are the projects we're adding. So. Yep. Okay. Great. So just to kind of reiterate, we're continuing to finalize the public review. We just got a fully formatted draft from our communications team this evening. So we're really excited to dig into that. And that will be made public on November 12th. We'll be back here on November 19th to discuss that draft with you and prepare for the public hearing on December 3rd. And then December 17th, we'll come back to discuss any revisions we're making to that we've made to the plan based on those comments that we've received, and seek the commission's recommendation for adoption. We will be going to council on the 13th to do a study session to discuss the Planning Commission's recommendation, and then hope to have it adopted on February 3rd.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your comments.
All right, moving on to staff and commissioner updates. We'll start with Audra.
Yes, commissioner. So just a couple of reminders that we are switching to our special timeline on November and December. So instead of meeting on the 2nd and 4th, we're meeting on the 1st and 3rd. So the next session would have been November 5th, but we're canceling that one because we don't have any topics on the agenda. But so the next one will be November 19th, then December 3rd, we have a public hearing for the transportation master plan, and then December 17th. So those are the dates that we're gonna be meeting. And also a quick reminder, if you're not gonna be able to make any of these meetings, just let us know. Thank you.
All right, and I wanna piggyback on that one. So we do not have a meeting on November 5th. What I would love if people could use a little bit of that time to do instead, or on your own time, if that's easier, is a little bit of personal IT cleanup. So two tasks. The first is please get your Redmond City email on your favorite device. So the one that you would actually carry with you, so that we're having a lot of communication before the meetings. It's not totally getting through. So I just want to make sure people can actually access their meeting information. So if you could send a quick email to staff once you're happy with your email situation, that would be great, just so that we know that you're actually getting things. The second is there is a very small security training. It's about 15 minutes. If you haven't taken it already, I encourage you to do so. It's educational and not hard. But that would be great also in that November 5th time slot if you don't have a better time to make for it. All right. So I think that's everything from me. Any other staff or commissioner updates? No one staff, commissioners? All right. In that case, I look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Then we are adjourned.